And welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show here. Truth is our bitch every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And I hold in my hand here my iPhone. And on that iPhone, people who are watching Phil TV in HD can see the beautiful, crisp, clean, gorgeous picture, the video cast, the Phil TV picture on the iPhone there. So if you are mobile tonight, if you're going out someplace, let's see, what is this? What night is this?
It's a Thursday night.
Thursday night. So let's say you're out drinking and dancing, and
What? Talk about dancing.
It's Thursday night, Phil.
I know, I'm kidding. But let's just say there are some people that like to go dancing and drinking, and, you know.
Well, maybe if they're night off, like tomorrow.
Yeah, some people have a three-day weekend. So if you're out and about tonight, take your mobile with you and watch us as we work whatever it is that we work. And man, we work it. You know, we work it for all it's worth. And we try to come out of here a few dollars ahead. Who knows? Anyway, welcome to the program. And we are online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. All of that and yours can be yours with a backstage pass, $9.99 for a single month, or you can get a year's subscription, 6 months, whatever. Watch the video cast. Listen to the 5,000 plus hours of archived audio that we have. Watch our webisodes. Listen to the Milwaukee Lions. Listen to and watch our video cast archive. Join us in our news section, our comments section, and just watch it as we grow and continue to swell and continue to. Don't give me that look.
Well, I think some of the language.
All right. So anyway, nice to be with you here this evening. Bud, you were laughing all about Dick Trickle. Do you want me to get this out of the way? Okay.
Well,
I think it's disrespectful, okay? I think it's disrespectful.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy's name.
I don't care what his name is. You know, all through my life, Dick Trickle had a funny name, and everybody made fun of the guy. The guy committed suicide. You understand that?
Well, you can't expect people to... I'm supposed to maintain a straight face.
Yes. Yes. Don't act like a child.
I'm not a child, Phil. I think it is unfortunate that the man... Why couldn't he have changed his name?
You know, I saw a guy tweet this...
No, why couldn't he have changed his name?
No, hold on. I saw a guy tweet today with a name like Dick Trickle. Some guys are going to go for any laugh they can. And this guy tweeted today... With a name like Dick Trickle, I'm surprised he didn't kill himself by middle school, which I thought was fairly funny. But then he followed it up with, better late than never. And I thought that was totally uncalled for. It's too bad. But the thing about Dick Trickle, he wasn't about to change his name for any jive-ass comic on Twitter, for me, for you, for anybody. That was his name. He's going to live with that name, and that's where it's at. And he was a fun-loving guy. He probably had a lot of fun with the name.
Not much, but... If you'll tell people what it means.
Yeah, you gotta tell people what Dick Trickle means.
No, I don't have to tell them that. Do I?
No, I don't think so. I think that they can imagine.
All right, so you're just assuming.
I'm assuming everybody gets... In any event, Dick Trickle, for all of the humor in the poor man's name, for all of the laughs that people got down through the years with Dick Trickle, as well as, you know, at his expense, because, as I say, he was a fun-loving guy. He was a NASCAR automobile race car driver. This guy was a part of a very elite group. And let's, before we like to mock people like that, let's remember what he did for a living. And I've always had a inordinate amount of respect for race car drivers. As opposed to, say, hockey players, football players, or anybody else like that. Because I've always said this, and I will always say it, race car drivers and the sport of motor racing actually serves a purpose that is valuable to society. Unlike any other sport that I can name, automobile racing is the testing ground for the modern passenger car. The cars that you drive, that I drive, that our wives and our kids and our husbands drive... that we want to ensure are safe, that we want to ensure are high-performing, that we want to ensure we're getting our money's worth, that the fuel is the right kind of fuel, the carburation, the tires, everything that goes into today's automobile is tested by these guys. So when we talk about automobile racing, the sport of motorsports, when we talk about the guys that drive the cars, I think we're talking about a rather unique group. Are they athletes? I don't even want to... Is a test pilot an athlete? Would you call a test pilot an athlete, Bud Dickman?
What?
Would you call...
He's not even listening to you.
Put that down, bud, okay? God, for God's sake, how many times are you going to look at a Rubik's Cube?
Gotta figure it out.
You've been trying to figure that out for as long as I've known you. Put it down. Would you say a test pilot is an athlete?
Well, what do you mean by test pilot? Is he a pilot? What's he testing?
A test pilot, man. A guy that flies jets.
I don't think he is.
You don't think he's an athlete, meaning...
I don't think that what he is,
what he does is not his body. What he does is the plane.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So what you're saying is the primary instrument used in the test is not him, but the aircraft, and so therefore he's simply the pilot of the larger instrument, which is the aircraft.
Yes, but the way you held your hands apart like that, Phil, it looked vulgar. And I know you didn't mean it as vulgar.
But I'm not talking about...
Shut up, bud. I'll handle it. What?
You didn't mean it as vulgar, but you were looking at me and smiling and going, yeah, you know.
Margaret, so what is that supposed to mean?
I know you didn't mean it, but there's a video cast, hello, and people are looking at you leering. You weren't leering, okay? I'll give you that.
Yeah, you're saying people are leering. Sometimes maybe they're not leering.
I'll decide who's leering at me and who isn't, all right? Is that all right with you?
Yeah, but Ms. Gray...
I'll decide who's leering... I'm saying, Phil, you weren't leering on purpose, but you were looking at me, and at the instant that you held your hands apart, you licked your lips.
Yeah, I did see that, Mr. Henry.
So what? You know, it's better that you just ignore this stuff than you just went into a whole long 5-minute explanation as to what it was I was doing while I'm trying to talk about something else. Which is whether I want to stick to the point, okay? God, you talk about having a dirty mind.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, I'm holding my hands. So I'm saying, in other words...
Now, slow down, Phil, because you're not speaking English anymore.
Yeah, but Stanley, you're going... I it sounded almost like Mozambique or something.
Yeah, probably what your ancestors spoke. Ow! He's not allowed to do that.
Yes, I gave Robert clearance to hit you, too. So now, by the end of your run here on this show, bud, you're going to be a mess. You're going to have broken bones. I don't even think you're going to be able to move.
Yeah, pretty funny.
It is to me. Margaret, because I got my arms out, my hands out like this, I'm not talking about the size of my penis, because that's what you're talking about.
How dare you articulate it?
Well, I just did. And I'm not looking at you and going, hey, yeah, I had my hands out like that as I was expressing something about motorsports. Okay?
Fair enough.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, why would you belabor it now, Phil?
Because you did. Because you brought it up. And I'm going to take as much time explaining myself as you took with your whole I was leering at you with my hands and all of that nonsense. So to get back to the point, I believe that these guys are very special guys. Dick Trickle was a guy that ran in the NASCAR end of things. He did not win any big points races. He was well known, in fact, as an underachiever. But he achieved this cult status because of his name, because his name also was popularized by Keith Olbermann on his sports reports, because he himself was a kind of a cut-up and a crazy dude. He smoked cigarettes. He smoked cigarettes while they were taking their sometimes a green flag lap when they were starting the race. He would try to get a cigarette in. He actually had carved or bored a hole in his helmet where he could put the cigarette to smoke it. And then just before they started off the actual race, he'd pitch it out the window and set fire to a puddle of gasoline in pit row and burn everyone alive. I'm kidding, okay?
Well, people are going to believe that.
No, he didn't, but...
But that time he saw that guy leaping around and everything.
What?
It was pretty funny. You're talking about a guy that was leaping about.
Yeah, you said one guy got on fire and started leaping around going, hey, yeah.
Yeah, you're all, hey.
Tell them, don't do that, bud.
What? Yee. And ow. Yee. Yee.
Boy, that was pretty low, Margaret.
Well, and they'll get lower.
It was Rick Mears. It was Indianapolis, and I forget the year, but Rick Mears was standing in pit row, and it had been a hell of a day all the way around, and Rick Mears was standing either next to his car or in pit. He was in pit row, I think, and suddenly he caught fire. the fuel that they use, or at least at that time, when the fuel is ignited.
Yeah, and spit it out.
Okay, when the fuel is ignited, you can't see the flames. They're invisible. And so Mears was jumping around in the pits, waving to people. And finally, one of the pit guys saw him. It didn't take that long. It was only a couple of seconds before a guy looked over, saw what was going on, pulled a fire extinguisher, and put him out. But Mears, for a few seconds, as you're watching this poor man, this guy's on fire. Somebody put him out. But you can't see the flames. All you see is him jumping up and down and patting himself and waving to people, put me out.
Did he say that? Did he say put me out? Or did he just wave and scream?
I don't think he screamed.
Yeah, because a lot of times the guys are on fire and go, you know, like in the movies.
Yeah, no, I know in the movies. I don't think he did. Let's take a break. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bud Dickman with more of his audition for the NFL Films. I can't believe this is continuing. Your NFL film job. We got Bud Dickman, and we'll also be joined by David G. Hall and Ted Bell on the show tonight. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are awaiting the arrival of Ted Bell. He's going to be with us here in just a moment, and we're going to talk to him about an interesting phenomenon. I say phenomenon, an interesting trend, if you will, perhaps an interesting fad, and that is the cicada bug that we were mentioning on the show last night. This is this insect that comes up out of the earth every, whatever it is, 17 years, and makes all this racket. This is what we were trying to tell you, bud.
That's not like a cricket.
It's related to the cricket, but it's not a cricket. No, crickets come out every night and just do their thing. But this is a very specific kind of animal, insect that every 17 years, according to Ted, there are those in the food service business, the more creative chefs, I guess, who are actually trying to turn this damn thing into some sort of a delicacy, the cicada, as a something to eat, you know. So we're going to talk with him here from Ted's Beverly Hills as Ted Bell joins us tonight on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, Bill, you said it right. Ted's of Beverly Hills, you know, we've never shied away from being creative, from being a cut above the rest. And we think we've got something here with this cicada. Although there's also the Cipollino. Do you know about that, Phil?
The Cipollino is also sort of an insect?
Yes. The Cipollino is a Mexican insect, and I don't know why they qualify or classify it as a Mexican insect. I made the joke to Bill Fefferty, who does a lot of our delivery. I said, Bill, these insects, these Cipollinos, are you sure they're legal? And he laughed, and I, you know...
Oh, because they're from Mexico.
Yeah, the Mexican Cipollinos. Well, what we did do, and we're known for this at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I wish the word got out a little bit better. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening, if you've ever been to Ted's of Beverly Hills, understand we're a steakhouse, and we are one of the best steakhouses, I'd like to think, in the world. And I think there's evidence to that effect. I have, by the way, Phil, offered Jody Arias, the young lady who was convicted of the murder of the young man Travis Alexander, I have offered her and her family a steak dinner with all the trimmings. Now, understand something. I'm not doing that because I think that she is a good person. I am simply doing it to offer this to her as a way of saying, you know, we'd like you to have a steak dinner. You got to understand, there's a little bit of a publicity value. I shouldn't be talking about this now.
No, I don't think you should. What do you mean publicity value?
Well, what I mean is that she is well known. I understand she is now considered to be a murderer, but when I made the offer, she was not yet convicted. So I'm saying that we have offered her and her family a steak dinner with all the trimmings, and it is our way of saying, this is what a decent human being eats. If you, Ms. Arias, had been a decent human being, this could be something you would enjoy. So please have a decent human being's meal, you know, before they...
Before she's executed or before she spends the rest of her life in prison.
Who was... Was that you, Phil?
No, that's Margaret.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said, Ted, before she's executed.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with her. I'm just saying it's our way of saying to her, this is what a decent human being eats, and we're offering it to you. See, you know, I think it's a very good idea. Bill Hefferty, who I was talking to, and my wife, Marcy, both thought that we would simply be promoting a killer. I said, no. No. First of all, when I made the offer, it was before she was convicted. I didn't want that to just go off the table. So I said to her, how about this? We offer her a steak dinner with all the trimmings, and we say this is her being able to have a steak dinner like a normal human being, like a regular, you know. See what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know whether or not that's a...
Phil, I'm not asking your opinion.
No, I see what you're saying, but I mean, I should give an opinion, don't you think? I mean, this being a talk show.
Well, all right, that's fine, but I what I'm trying to tell you is I think it's a good idea, and I'd like you to support it as a good idea and not sit here and go, oh, well, let me think, Ted. No, I think it's a terrible idea, and let me just destroy your restaurant business while I'm in this, you know?
I don't think I'm doing that. I'm just saying, in my opinion, you may be getting people who will misunderstand the intention. It's very difficult for me to understand you giving Jody Arias or Arias or whatever the hell her name is.
You should know. You're the announcer. What's her name?
I think it's Arias or Arias.
That's two different ways. So,
well, if you're going to promote this, don't you think you ought to know how to pronounce her name?
I should, but I'm taking my cue from you. Look, I don't care. At this point, all I'm telling you is I didn't even want to talk about the steak dinner because I said that I wanted to come on here and talk to you about the Cipollinos and the not just the Cipollinos, but also the cicadas. Now, we had these Cipollinos on our bar, and the bar patrons were eating them as if they were peanuts. I told them, try it. It's a salted snack. And they said, well, what is it? I said, just don't even worry about it. And finally, this one guy, you know this guy, Duke Porter, right?
Uh-huh.
Duke finally said, well, what is it? I've had about, 15 of them. They're very good. I said, it's an insect from Mexico. And he had the reaction, you know, and I said to him, what's the problem with you? I said, isn't it delicious? And he wouldn't talk to me. He got up and sort of held onto the bar and walked as if he was going to the men's room, but he kept on making the turn toward the front door, and I thought he was leaving. And I said, Duke, quit fooling around, and you know that it tasted good. You said it tasted good. He said, you fed me a bug, and that's when he made the left-hand turn away from the door toward the men's room, didn't go into the men's room, went into the ladies' room. So that's when I said to him, get out. And so when he started complaining that I fed him insects, I said, no, he's nuts. I threw him out because I saw him trying to go into the ladies' can.
Well, what kind of a story is that?
I'm sorry? How do you want me to answer that? What kind of a story is that?
You talking about this guy ate an insect?
I'm talking about the guy that had the Cipollino, yeah. This guy ate the Cipollino. What do you need to know, Phil?
You're telling me that this guy ate something you said you encouraged him to eat it, and he did, and then he found out it was a Cipollino. Well, it was a salty snack. He liked it, right?
Yeah, he liked it.
He ate it, and then you told him it was actually an insect, and he got up from the bar, and he staggered as if he was going out the front door, and then made a turn toward the men's can, but went in the ladies' room instead.
My mistake, yeah, but that gave me my out. So that when he complained, and I said, well, listen, I'll tell you something, Duke. You went into the lady's head. Do you really want to make a big deal out of this? And that's when he threw his hands up, and he said, no, thank you. And that was the end of that.
Well, was he sick?
No, he wasn't sick. He was just, psychologically, he thought that he'd been poisoned or otherwise something had happened to him. And I said, no, you're fine, you chicken. And so, but that was my effort at introducing something that was exotic. And we love to do the exotic thing at Ted's in Beverly Hills. And I think with the Cipollino, I think with the cicada, when we start cooking those up.
Well, the cicada, I can tell you right now, I ain't going to eat it.
Well, all right, that's fine, Phil. But thank God you're not necessarily the one that people are going to be listening to when it comes to fine dining, especially when you say things like, the cicada, I ain't going to eat it. People are going to think that you're eating over here at Steerburger. Well, guess what? My place is a class place all the way.
Well, then I hope you get somebody classy to endorse eating the cicadas much more classy than Duke, because, you know, Duke was on his way to go outside to throw up, it sounds like.
No, he was making a big deal out of the fact that I gave him an insect and I didn't tell him it was an insect. And he loved it. It tasted great. Then I said, it's an insect, and he's making a big deal out of it. So I had to say, you went into the ladies' can, get out.
Have you 86'd him?
You better believe it. Yeah.
So he can't come in the restaurant ever again?
No.
Phil. We'll be right back, folks.
You?
No, hold on, Phil. I know the guy.
Bill Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
In a moment, I'll be introducing our chef, Carl Cedilia, who is our main chef at Chick's. The name of my restaurant is Ted's of Beverly Hills, right? I call it Chick's. Chick's of Beverly Hills. My younger brother started a Chick's. Let me just say this, Bill. My younger brother started a hamburger place called Chick's of Beverly Hills. My younger brother's name, like Chick Hearn, was Francis, and we called him Chick, okay?
And he started Chick's of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it was a hamburger place, and I told him, I said, I can't allow that, I can't, and Chick said, well, why not? I said, because I'm Ted Bell, and he said, well, I'm Chick Bell, and I said, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. You could be, it doesn't even mean that much in our family. And he said, oh, you dirty. And so I said, that's it. You know, I'm going to make sure they don't give you your license. And so Chick works for me. And that's why I said Chick's of Beverly Hills. Now,
what does Chick do?
Chick is doing what Chick does. Don't worry about what he does. He makes a nice salary. Don't worry about it.
Well, all right. I'm sorry to ask.
Why would you be rude about that, Ted?
What did you say?
Why are you rude about that? What does Chick do?
I just got done telling you Chick does what Chick does. And,
Well, what does that mean, Chick Desmond? You sound like a little boy.
Look, if he doesn't want to say, you know...
If I sound like a little boy... That's okay, Phil, I got this. Margaret, if I sound like a little boy, that's right. Chick Bell is my kid brother. He works for me, and he does the jobs that I tell him to do, and he makes a nice salary, and that's all it is. You know, I don't want to say any more.
Okay. It sounds very, you know...
What, like I'm running a criminal operation or something? Okay, Margaret, here you go. Chick drops bodies off for me in the ocean. How about that?
Well, if that's what you're saying...
No, I'm not saying that, but that's...
All right, forget it. Forget I even brought it up, okay? Ted Bell is with us here. Chef Carl Cedilia is also going to be online, and we're going to talk to Chef Carl Cedilia this segment, Ted, about this chef on a German island, the German island of Sylt, which I'm S-Y-L-T, which I'm assuming is some sort of a tourist area. Anyway, it was a Japanese chef in a Japanese restaurant on this German island of Sylt, and he was eventually beat up and killed by a couple of customers, correct?
That's exactly right, Phil. And what happened was this. This chef had served up a Chinese a fried noodle dish that these two... You know, these, what do you want to call them? I want to say kraut. They're not krauts, you know, but they're...
Germans, or just two men.
Well, two men, that doesn't say enough. Two Germans took exception to this, and they walked out without paying. Now, the Japanese chef, a man by the name of Mickey Nozawa, ran after them. Or excuse me, did not run after them. The two guys walked out without paying. Later on that night, he met these two guys at a so-called table dance bar, and he ran into them, and the argument started anew. You went out of my restaurant without paying, and they said, well, your fried noodle dish, we wouldn't feed that to a hog. And that's when the Japanese guy said, you're on, and chose off both of these guys. Now, I don't know where you come from, Phil, but where I come from, if you choose off two guys... You are either your Superman or you're Chuck Norris or you're mentally deficient. I don't know which it was with this guy, but he decides that he's going to go ahead, gentlemen, step right up to the plate. I'll take both of you now. And they wound up beating him to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they wound up beating this poor guy to the point where he died from brain trauma and internal injuries in intensive care. The specific cause of death is not yet known, though a German prosecutor has stated an autopsy is being performed. whether or not these two guys are charged with the German equivalent of manslaughter, or of course in that country, I don't even know if it's against the law.
Ted, the German jokes are old hat, man. They're.
Well, what do you mean old hat?
It's just not tasteful anymore. The German people, it's a couple of generations removed from those bad days. And they're great people, and they've built their country back up, and they're not hiding anything. They take full responsibility for this, that, and everything else. Let's quit it with the German, and the Kraut this.
All right, fine. So anyway, Chef Carl Cedilia is joining us here. Chef Carl Cedilia, who's been working for me for several years. Carl, how are you?
Oh, I'm really great, boss. Good to be with you. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Chef Carl.
Carl, I want to ask you something. If you were Chinese or Japanese or whatever this gentleman...
He's Japanese.
Yeah, if you were Japanese and you're serving up a noodle dish, okay, and you give it to a couple of these, to a couple of Germans, and they basically tell you that you should put it back in the toilet that you pulled it out of, what would you do?
Well, it was very difficult to say what I would do. In other words, they tell me they don't like the way it tastes.
That's what they're saying, Chef, that they hate it, and they're not going to pay for it.
Yeah, I left that up, that they're not going to pay for it.
That's a very difficult. If someone's going to come out of the restaurant and not pay for a fried noodle, and it is a dish, a special dish of mine.
Yeah, Phil, did you hear that, Phil? Chef Carl said that the fried noodle is one of your specialty dishes, right? I didn't mishear that, did I?
Oh, no, it's one of my favorites. It's one of my specialties.
All right, right there. You heard it. I didn't make it up. You heard it. One of his specialty dishes. So two Germans come in.
Well, also, hold on. I'm a Japanese man. I make a fried noodle.
Fried noodle.
I'm sorry, fried noodle. If I'm a Japanese man, I make fried noodle. And in come these two German men. Now, I would say to them, are you sure you want to have the fried noodle? Because the fried noodle I made is one spicy dish. I'm not sure whether the Northern Europeans,
All right, but let's just say they say we would like to have the fried noodle dish.
All right, I lay that on them with all the trimming, and I give them that fried noodle. Now, if they say they don't like it, it tastes bad, I don't go outside, and they run and they leave. I don't like that. I don't know anyone that does. I would find them. And I would hold them down until they came up with the money.
Now, how are you? Now, this is something Phil is going to ask you about.
You would find them and hold them down.
I guess so. I'd have to.
Now, how are you, Chef Carl Cedilia? And you're a formidable guy, Chef, but these are two big, what do you call, Germans, okay?
What is with the what do you call? You know what they are.
All right, they're two Germans. And they've just walked out on you, telling you that your noodle dish is... Right out of a cat's ass. How are you going to hold these guys down?
I when someone is disrespecting the food that I prepare, I am not a happy man, and I will go anywhere, I do anything to get to the individual that has made the disparaging remark, even if it means I lose blood, if it means I...
So, in other words, you will keep going after them and keep going after them.
Yes, sir. That's right. I will keep on and keep on. I'll give you an example of that, Ted. A man had made fun of my noodle, not a noodle dish, made a chicken dish, a chicken fricassee and with the biscuits and all the trimming, right?
Okay.
And
What was this?
It was a chicken biscuit, all the trimming.
Chickens and biscuits and... okay.
Not chickens.
Say chickens. One chicken. It was chicken. It was like three chickens on his plate.
Okay, so chicken and biscuits.
Yeah, man, and a gravy. And so the guy said to me that the food tasted bad, real bad. He said, I can't take it. I can't take it any longer. I said, you have to pay for it. He said, I will not pay for it. I said, yes, you will. Anyway, he went after his car, and I raced after him. I grabbed a hold of his car. And I, with my feet on the ground, I tried to actually hold the car back, but I did hold on to the car as he took off.
Are you hearing that, Phil? He held on to the automobile. Now, what were you doing?
I climbed up on the bumper, on the back bumper.
Wait. This guy,
You're busting my train of thought. Hold on. I climbed up on the back bumper, and I crawled, and it was a convertible. And he was screaming because he couldn't believe that a man would be so intent on getting the money that you owe for your chicken biscuit. And he saw me coming across the back seat. I crawled into the front seat. He's now screaming and crying and begging for his life. And I said, "You pull this over." And I said, I want every penny you got on you. And he just pulled out his wallet. I basically mugged him. You hear that, Bill? He mugged this guy.
Yeah, but you did this after you ran after the guy's car.
I ran after his car. I jumped up on the back bumper. And I crawled almost like that Secret Service agent did when Jackie Kennedy tried to go and get the brain or the head when John Kennedy's head flew off. And
well, he wasn't trying to get his head. It was...
It was part of the skull or something. I'm sorry. And I crawled just like that Secret Service guy, and I went across the back seat, and I went across the front. I got the front seat, and I said... And he's screaming now. He's screaming like he's seen a mummy movie or ghoul movie, right? Okay.
All right, that's fine. So now he's screaming. He's scared because he's looking at a guy that wants his money so bad. He's crawled onto the back bumper of the car. He's there, right?
Yeah, I'm there. He's there. Yeah, he's there. I said, "You pull it over." And I said, "Now give me your money." And he took out the price of the chicken.
Yeah, this guy was going to give him the price of the chicken and biscuit. And Chef Carl said, "No, that no can do. I want all your money, right?"
I mugged him, and I said, "You got your car. And you got yourself a meal, but you've been mugged. And you just, I said, you tell him Chef Carl Cedilia was here. Chef Carl Cedilia was here. And I've always used that my calling card, you know."
Well, what do you mean you've always used that as a calling card?
Let me do it, Ted. Well, I'm Ted Bell. I know you're Ted Bell, but I'm Carl Cedilia. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia.
All right. You know what? Don't let that get to your head, okay? Just because you crawled up
The back bumper?
Yeah, the back bumper of a Cadillac, a convertible, which I got to admit, Phil, that's a beautiful scene. Here's this guy with a processed pompadour, and he's wearing the white sports jacket. He gets into his convertible Cadillac, and he's getting off. He's taking off. And now he turns, and he sees Chef Carl Cedilia crawling up the back bumper, and he starts to scream like a bitch.
All right, let's watch the language, okay?
But anyway, I got the money. And I said, you tell him, you know that movie, Tell Him Willie Boyler Here? You ever seen that?
Tell Him Willie Boy, yeah.
I said, you tell him that Chef Carl Cedilia, you saw him today. You tell him it's Chef Carl Cedilia. He mugged you. And the guy was all shaking and scared and everything.
Before we go to the break, I want to ask something, Chef Cedilia. Has that ever been of a benefit to you that somebody said Chef Carl Cedilia did this to me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that one guy, you know, he went home, he told his wife, his kids, everywhere anybody talked to him, they said, "Can you pick up the bar?" He said, "I have no money. Chef Carl Cedilia come knocking."
Yeah, you know what I mean, Phil? So this guy, don't ever tell Chef Carl Cedilia his noodle dish is no good, because he wouldn't have beat those Germans up. What would you have done?
I would have chased after him. I would have got on the back end of their car, and I would have got them both a headlock.
Put a headlock both of them and got the money out of them. Of course, all you would be getting would be German marks.
Well, that's not the kind of money I'm going to have.
Well, that's true.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back here with Ted Bell, Chef Carl Cedilia, on what happens if you beat the sea, as they say, or beat the check at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Chef Carl will run after you, grab the back bumper of your car, crawl up onto the back of the car like that Secret Service agent did in the Kennedy assassination, crawl into the front seat, force you to pull over, and then mug you for all your money.
Well, I would say that is illegal, and probably people are walking out without paying because the food is horrific. I'm Margaret Gray.
That's great. I'm Phil Hendry.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
And I'm Phil Hendry.
Truth
and
Bud Dickman. Is our bitch. The
I'm
Phil Hendry, Hendry Show.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm the guy that says I'm Phil Hendry at the end.
But I'm Robert Leonard, though.
Welcome back.
My God.
Well, hold on for a minute. What?
I can't believe what I'm looking at. Did you post this on your Facebook page?
Hold on for a minute. Do you mind if I get into the segment here?
Yeah, he did. I saw him do it.
Yeah.
This is the rudest.
Hold on for a minute. Do you mind if I get into the segment?
Sorry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And so what's the problem? Yes, I did post that.
This is the rudest thing. Phil, this is, I do not think this is up. I don't think it's the kind of thing you put on Facebook.
Well, I put it there because the people that are on Facebook, the people listening to the show, people want to know what's going on in my life, okay? And they want to know what I'm thinking.
That thing is pretty bold, Mr. Henry. I give you 100% endorsement and everything.
I agree with Mr. Gray. I don't think it. I think it's rude.
You think it's rude, huh? Well, let me tell you this. It's how I was feeling at the time. Did I mention anybody's name? No. Did I say who I'm talking about? No. Did I say what part of the country? No. Did I say nothing?
Well, Phil, what if the young lady in question reads this?
She already knows. She already knows, so it's not about that. She already knows. So if in case there's you know, any woman out there that I've ever had any friendship with, etc.
Why don't you tell people, are you willing to read it? I bet you don't have the guts to read it.
I'll read it. I mean,
yeah, I'm saying, I think you ought to read that.
You don't have the guts. You're yella, aren't you?
No, I am. What is it with you? What is this, Nevada Smith?
No, hold on, Phil. Are you yella, or are you going to read that?
I'm going to read it, but can I ask you something?
What?
How do you spell that word you just said?
What word are you talking about?
You talk about yella.
Y-E-L-L-O-W.
Well, did you hear how you said it?
I'm saying it. I'm looking you in the eyes, and I'm asking you, are you going to read it, or are you yella? What is he laughing at?
Well, Mr. Gray, you're saying it all like...
You're saying it like Carl Malden at the end of Nevada Smith. Yella! You know?
I don't know. Look, Phil, I live in this century, and I'm saying you haven't got the guts to read that.
I'm going to read it right now. This is what I posted on Facebook. One other thing I wrote, because I had written something before about my beard coming off, I forget what. And I know what. I'd written something about, try to make sense, people. Don't lose the message in an effort to be clever. A lot of people on Facebook these days.
Oh, no. You're not going to sidetrack, Phil.
I'll get to it. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of time. But there's a lot of people on Facebook these days, in an effort to be clever, you don't know what the hell they're talking about. Now, I'm not talking about myself or anybody else that makes a living at communicating. Yes, there are times when we suck at it, but the fact is, it's what I do for a living. So, you know, I give myself a pass. Sorry. If you are on Facebook because you're taking a coffee break from whatever job, you know, that you usually do, and it has nothing to do with comedy or entertainment, then just say what it is you want to say, and because everybody's trying to get the punchline out. All right.
Just read what you wrote, and don't be yella.
Yeah, say yella.
I said Y-E-L-L-O-W.
You're going yella.
Read it.
I wrote one other thing. I'm old and getting older, but the last bitch, yes, I wrote that, the last bitch that tried to play me as some kind of a sugar daddy is checking back into her waitress job right about now. Honey, that's who you're winding up with, a waiter.
That is rude and angry, and I think you owe that girl an apology.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
You're not going to apologize?
No, I'm not going to apologize. Does that say Glenn Beck commented? Look at that. There's somebody pretending to be Glenn Beck. Hey, Glenn, they're pretending to be you, man. B-H-E-C-K. How do you like the pair on people, huh?
Somebody always pretending to be you.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a guy. There's always people pretending to be me, but I guess they're always pretending to be Glenn. I'm not apologizing for that. It happens to be a fact.
Are you going to give us some specifics?
No, I'm not going to give any specifics. I told the whole story right there. The last bitch that tried to play me a song. Look, when I said I'm getting old, I'm getting older, whatever, you know, I know that there's probably my age group of guys, see, we are now the victims of a new kind of criminal mentality, the predatory younger chick. And what they do is they force their way into your hotel room, they force you to have sex with them, and then they force you to take them to dinner and dance with them, and then they force you to take them back and have more sex with them. Now,
would you get serious, please?
No, what I'm saying is this. There are younger women who think, oh, wow, you know, I think I'll try and hook up with, who, you know, like some guy that I think has money. And they think that because you're an old guy, you're going to be happy with them just being on your arm and spending your dough. and there isn't going to be any of the traditional kind of younger guy sex. Well, I got news for you. You know, that's not the case with me, and it not with any other guy I know. So any cat that falls for that, and there's guys that do. There's guys that, like, get suckered into hanging with a younger woman, spending their dough on her, and they're totally cool with just sort of being kind of a quasi-eunuch or something. I don't know. This kid here, that's not where it's at. I mean, I see everybody as an equal, and they may be younger than me, but if they're adults, they're adults, and it's an adult relationship. And so, no, you know, we're not playing that one, you know.
Well, what was it? So she didn't want to have sex with you or something?
No, it wasn't that. It was that, I didn't even really, the perception that I got, the feeling that I got was that it was just one of these, you know, I'm going to be the sugar daddy. And I said, no, I am not. And, get lost and go back to fetching hash browns. So, there you go.
You still have breakfast at a restaurant?
At what restaurant?
Where she works.
I never did have any breakfast at that restaurant. I don't even know where it is. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Never go off into sleep with a lot of guys at work. Yeah, you hope you make enough money someday to do the thing that Mr. Henry.
And the other people, too.
What?
Oh, forget it.
Phil Henry.